The first scripture I want to go to, let's just go to the book of Matthew. Let's jump right in. Chapter 3.
Hallelujah.
We all there?
Yeah.
All right. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Today's title is, "You're Not the Same When You're Hungry." John, and the scripture came out earlier this morning, and I'm not surprised. I just think it's funny how God always lines the word up. But God was speaking to me about being hungry. When you're hungry, you're not the same. When you're hungry, you'll be misunderstood by most people. You'll be misunderstood by your peer group. You'll do things a little bit different or even a lot different than everybody else. You'll think differently. People will get tired of hearing you talk about things that you're passionate and hungry about. You're definitely not the same when you're hungry. John, it mentions what he was eating and what he had on. And the reason being is because he wasn't eating what everybody else was eating. John was concerned about some things other than what he was putting in his belly. It mentioned his clothes, because his clothes were not the typical garb worn by everybody else. I'm sure maybe once upon a time John had a robe like everybody else, or John ate the same things that everybody else. But it doesn't explain it, but somewhere along the line, John got hungry. John started going after something more than food and more than clothes. And he wasn't the same. Turn over just a few. Go to Jonah. Jonah 1. Let's just start at the first chapter, Jonah 1. It's a tiny book, so you may have to go to the table of contents. If you blink, you'll miss it. We good? Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Let's go to 8. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. I don't know how John the Baptist got so hungry. I know he was called of God, but not all of the great men in the Bible started off hungry. Here is one, Jonah. Jonah is clearly hungry for what Jonah wants to be hungry for. Jonah is in the ship with everybody else, doing what everybody else is doing. Actually, he's asleep. The last thing that Jonah is concerned about is the Lord's agenda. Jonah is actually doing the exact opposite of the Lord's agenda, which can be hazardous to do. We're not perfect. We're all flawed. We all get distracted. But God wants us to be hungry. The only thing is sometimes we're hungry and thirsty after the wrong things. God made our minds brilliant. He did some things when he created us that not even we understand. There's some things in us that we don't understand. There's some desires, there's some passions, there's some giftings that we don't quite understand. We have strength that we don't understand. We have a will that we don't understand. You ever do something and do it, and afterwards you say, I didn't know I was capable of that. Well, God knew you were capable of that. How does he get us to a place where, see, he knows what he put in us, and he knows how strong we are, but that's not his concern. His only concern is the direction. When you think about the Tower of Babel, they knew what they were doing. They were driven. They had the will. They had the strength. But it was just a misdirection. The struggle is not for the will, or not for the hunger, or not for the passion. The struggle is, where are you going to direct those hungers, wills, and passions? You have God with his agenda, and you have Satan with his agenda. They say that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, how does he do that? Distraction. It's not him tying you up and putting a gun to your head and saying, you're going to do this. No, he knows the will and the strength and the might that God put in you. So his mission is just to redirect that and get you distracted and get you focused on something else. Because once he does that, see, when you set your mind to something, you're going to do it. You ever had your back against the wall? You're going to do it. When you get hungry, you're not the same. When you decide to do something, really, really decide, the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not the silly little things that you think on a day-to-day basis, but when you make up your mind, not this outer mind that you've got, but your inner mind, your heart, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, or your back is up against the wall, or somebody's not eating, you're not going to miss any meals. Something has got to give. You're going to make something happen, and it's going to come from deep in your heart. As you think in your heart, so is he. Once you get on a direction and once you get on a path, you're going to make it happen, period. And God knows this. So it doesn't always start out for some people being on fire and being hungry for the things of God. Sometimes, every now and then, you may choose to go your own way, just like Jonah did. How does God get us to be hungry? How does he make us hungry for the right things? Either way, you've got passions and desires. You're going to make up your mind to do something. It's going to be one way or the other. But how does he direct us? I already know that Satan distracts us with, we have the attention span of a child. Most adults do, a very young child. I mean, we're one day we're going on with what God wants us to do, and it's like, ooh, shiny. You know, it's a quarter in the street, and it's like your attention is gone. You've been distracted. But somewhere on the along the line is once you give yourself to God, like I don't know when you did it, but he made a plan for you. Whatever he needs to do to get that out of you and to get you directed and to get you focused on the right things, he's going to do it. It may be scary. You may be like John and he doesn't need to do a whole lot. You know, maybe you get it. Maybe you just get it. But most of us don't. Let's see what God did to Jonah. Let's look at how he makes us hungry for the right things. So again, at 10, the guys were like, man, why did you even do this? Like, what was the reason? Like, now we're all in danger and we don't really understand why. Like, why would you flee? You can flee from anybody's presence, but why would you flee from God's presence? And go to 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? You know, when you're out of place, it doesn't just affect you. When you're not doing what God wants you to do, when you're not where God wants you to be, you know, it affects your family. You know, it affects your friends. It affects people that you don't even know. It's people that God put on a job with you to get something from you, but if you're not thinking along the right lines of what God is wanting you to do, what's the point? They may never get it, you know? Who else is going to get them the message, you know? So now we have a man that was doing his own thing and thought that it would only affect him. Amen. He wasn't worried about anybody else. He went to sleep, you know? But now we have a situation where lives are hanging in the balance and everybody's afraid. Why? Because Jonah wanted to do his own thing. He said, what are we going to do? In 12, he said, and he said unto them, listen, just take me up and throw me in the sea. I'm paraphrasing. That's not the King James. He said, throw me in the sea so everything will calm down. And 13, and this is so crazy. Look at 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. You can't do that. What did God tell Paul? He said, man, why do you keep kicking against the pricks? Like, you're fighting a losing battle. Your arms are too short to box with God. Amen. Remember when you decided that you were going to give your life to him? Yeah. I know you may have forgot about it, but he didn't. Amen. And he's going to do what he needs to do to get you where you need to be. Even if it means taking you up out of here early. He ain't playing. I've seen it. You know? So these men once they found out what was really happening and that God was doing this and that this guy was a Hebrew and he served God, and he told them, look, he said, man, toss me in. And 12, he said, man, forget it. I'll take the fall. Throw me in the sea. But they were still scared to do that. Like it says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. So it's just weird how there's a reverence for God here and the man of God. He said, throw me in, but they're still scared because they know it's God and they know that this is God's man. So they still don't want to throw him overboard. But God wanted him overboard. And once God makes a decision, whatever. That's that. So when they found out that resistance was futile, they eventually threw him over. Look at 14. It says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Now, every man was at first calling unto his own God or whatever, but now it's all about our God. Amen. I'm not surprised. O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. Now they don't have a choice. They didn't want to throw him over. They don't have a choice anymore. They're not going to make it to land. That's clear. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Of course he did. That's what he always does. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Yeah. And offered sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. You know, even though what Jonah did had an adverse effect on these guys and they had to go through some things that they weren't planning on, God still got the glory. His plan was carried out no matter what. Now the Lord had prepared, look at 17, a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's a long time to be in the dark. But understand this, whatever he needs to do to get you where you need to be, doing what you need to do and focused on what you need to be focused on, he's going to do it. And it may be dark, and you might be scared. You might not know where you're going. You might not know up from down. In the belly of a whale that's doing a lot of this here, you're going to lose direction, you know. You're going to feel lost, but God knows where you are. It said God sent the fish. Look at that. It said he prepared the fish. Isn't that crazy? You know that he can prepare something that you consider a tragedy? You know that he can ordain a job that you think stinks? He can ordain you to sit under somebody and to take orders from somebody that you absolutely hate? You know he can prepare a family to keep getting on your nerves or send someone that you don't like or put you in a place you don't want to be? You know he can prepare a cab that you had to call when your car broke down? You know, it's like these are things we don't think about because while you're in the midst of this, you don't ever step back to see the big picture. When something like this happens, or as soon as something that I think is bad, or, you know, I get a flat, or, man, I got to do something to the car, or, man, I've been through a lot. But I always say, I guess because you go through so much and God doesn't mind putting me through things so I could be focused. The first thing I think, oh, this isn't a favorable situation. This isn't where I plan to be. Okay, God, what are you doing? Like, I smell you. Like, I see your handprints all over this. And a lot of times when that happens, the worst thing to do is call somebody because people don't understand what God is doing in your life. They don't. A lot of times they don't. They see, like, some bits and pieces, but sometimes the worst thing you can do is call somebody because they'll say the wrong things. They're not God. They'll think the wrong things. They'll pray the wrong things. Usually it just doesn't work out. Look at chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Jonah talking to anybody else other than God really wasn't an option. Nobody knew where Jonah was, and that's a good thing, except for God. Nobody knows where you are except for you and God. You're off the radar. Once you get swallowed up by a fish in the ocean, you're off the grid. You're off the radar. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Wrong. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped around my head. Not only is that scaring, but that's downright disgusting. Because everything that was in the belly of that whale was just washing over Jonah's face, his head, his body. But you know what? The Lord doesn't mind you being uncomfortable. If it means you getting to where you need to be, he doesn't mind you being afraid or uncomfortable or grossed out or hurt. From the beginning, he had an agenda that he would save us all. He said, I don't will for anybody to perish. And so whether he's got to cut your arm off or your leg off to get you into heaven, he will. He will. Okay. And then it got so bad. You look at 7. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. God knew what was going to happen. He knew what it took to get Jonah going in the right direction. Sometimes you get to a point where you just don't know what to do. He said, my soul fainted. And at rock bottom, that's when I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. And then you look at 3. My heading for chapter 3 says, Jonah finally obeys. There's some more stuff in Jonah that I want to get into. Let's go to 4. I think we'll go to 4. You know, in 3 it says that Jonah did do what he was supposed to do. But remember how I was telling you how as adults our attention spans are very short and we get on the right track and then it just takes something very small to throw us off? Well, something very small threw Jonah off. Now, God did save Nineveh, you know, because when Jonah came and gave his message, a lot of people repented and turned around. God did what he needed to do to get people in Nineveh right, you know, whoever would. And look at 4, it says, Jonah is angry, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Jonah felt that he didn't need to go through all of that. You ever felt like that? Like things ever get really bad and you're just like, man, this is beneath me. Like, I don't feel like this is necessary. Like, what did I do? Maybe nothing. It's not really about what you did, but it's what God is doing. That's really what's important. He said, I didn't have to go through all of this. If you were going to save him, you could have done that anyway without me being 3 days in a fish and being tossed off a boat. Jonah said, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Jonah says, I knew that you were going to do that. I knew that you could save him. I know that you like to save people. What was all of that about? Like, why did you put me through that? And as it reads on, we're going to find out. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die. Like, I just went through a whole bunch of stuff for what I feel to be no reason at all. You could have saved those people while I was sleeping in the boat. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? Like, is this good that you mad? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And then it says, look at 6, it said, the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Remember how I was saying we see a cord and it's like, ooh, or something that's flashing or some lights, and now all of a sudden we're on some other path. It said Jonah saw this gourd and he was exceedingly glad for the gourd. It says, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die. Now I'm going through it again. Well, I don't think God puts you through things for no reason. I think he has a plan. I don't think he's a waster of his time or yours. So if you're going through it again, then obviously there's some more for you to learn. Maybe it's not enough for you to, you know, be vomited up onto dry land out of a fish after 3 days. Maybe something else needs to happen. So he said that basically his shade was destroyed, and God sent this. Once again, God is doing all of this stuff. He sent the wind, he sent the sun, and Jonah wished to die again. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry about a gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Like, my behavior is justifiable. God didn't think so. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, or you're regarding this little bit of shade that I gave you, for which you haven't labored, neither you didn't make the gourd grow, and now you're mad just because this gourd is gone. The first time God had to take Jonah into a fish, and then Jonah said, you know what? There's nowhere for me to go, nothing for me to do. Then he remembered God. But here again, he forgot God. It's like when the shade was gone, he got mad, but he didn't take a step out to see what God was doing. Have you ever known a chapter to end with a question? This is the first time I've ever seen this. Like, look at 11. This is weird, but it's good. And should I not spare Nineveh? Like, you're worried about a gourd, a little bit of shade that I gave you, and upset about how I'm sparing a city. He said, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? And it's like, where was your concern for all of these people? And then it ends with a question. Like, and there's nothing else to it. Like, the story is over. But I feel like when we read this, because God ain't going to make you do nothing. He says the Spirit is a gentleman. He will put forth a question. He will take you through things, but the choice is still yours. Like, there is no end of story. Like, that's up to you. Like, what are you going to do? There is no end. That's your call. You know what you went through. You know how things go. When you acknowledge me, then you ended up where you were supposed to be. You still have a choice. All right. Let's go back to Matthew. Let's finish off chapter 16. I know this is a lot of reading. But it goes right along with what was talked about this morning. the scripture Miss Gwen read, Miss Allen read, it all ties in. It is about doing what God has called us to do and not getting distracted. I think now more than ever, there are so many things to be distracted by. We have, oh my gosh, I can't turn on a radio. I can't turn on a TV. I can't pick up the phone without something trying to distract me. But that's the thing, that's all the devil can really do is just distract you. He doesn't have any power unless you give it to him. Amen. All right, we're going to, again, chapter 16, and let's start at 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. This is just a little insight into how the mind works. You ever start a job? Do you know what makes us hungry? And even more hungry and more hungry? When you start something and you see progress, the closer you get to the finish line, and when you can actually see the progress and you can see that finish line in view, you just get hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. You become a different person. See, Jesus was starting to talk about things that he hadn't talked about before. I believe when he saw that finish line coming and he knew his time was drawing closer, he just got hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. He was already doing the will of the Father. That's why he was here. That's all he did. But somewhere along the line, I think he changed. Like, I think he started to talk about different things because he knew that his time was getting short and he had a big job to do. So he was saying things that not only the disciples didn't understand, he started saying things that they really didn't want to hear. Just like us, you know, God says some things that either one, we don't understand, or two, when we do understand, we don't really want to hear it. You know? Here he's talking about, you know, and this is like right after the miracle when Jesus fed all of those people. And see, that was all good. It's like you want to be associated with a man that's doing stuff like that. But as soon as he tells you something that you're not comfortable with, then you question it. It says, what did Peter say? He said, then Peter took, well, he said, what is all of this being killed stuff? And no, man, you talked about a kingdom, like, we're going to run this place. Like, now you're talking about dying? Like, I've never seen a man come back from death. Like, I'm not trying to hear that. Like, we've gotten close. I was on your side. Like, I'm running with you. Like, we're doing big things here. And now you're talking about dying? And I don't believe people coming back from the dead because I've never seen that before. So you're really, what Peter interpreted as is, this is over. Like, we're having a good run and now this is over. You're going to kill yourself. Well, you're going to let yourself be killed. That's crazy. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this. No, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But you're not the same when you're hungry. You don't think like everybody else thinks. Like, you can be misunderstood when you're hungry. And Peter didn't understand Jesus' hunger to do the will of his Father. But Jesus says, see, and that's the thing, like, Jesus is rebuking Satan here, not Peter. He looked at Peter, but see, this is Satan's work. This is him being distracted. Any distractions, where do they come from? Satan? No. Just the same as the provisions come from God. All Satan can do is offer distraction. So, of course, Jesus knew exactly what the source of the distraction was. He said, Satan, basically, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. He says, basically, you're doing the exact opposite. Like, your agenda and my agenda are as far as from the east is from the west. You're contrary to me right now. And he says that you savorest not the things of God, but those things that be of men. I'm not going to do any more reading, but in closing, And this is something that God told me, and if you can use it, that's great. But it's just something that I had to learn. You're going to be hungry for something. You're going to have passions. You're going to have desires. But those passions and that hunger has to be after the right things. Like the scripture says, what does it say? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You're going to hunger and thirst after something. But if it's not God's agenda, it's a waste of your time and a waste of God's time. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We just thank you for your word. Lord,